Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
It goes without saying, you might say, that a number of songs have been sung through the years with regard to family. I'm reminded of a group called Sister Sludge, and in that I asked Brother Jones if he had ever heard of them, and he says they're not my favorite group, and they're not my favorite group either. But I remember they formulated in 1971, a group out of Philadelphia, and they're a group of sisters. And they had, if you would, their hit come about in 1979, April, in fact, of 1979, and it was entitled, We Are Family. Certainly very fitting for those sisters. They are family. It's also interesting that same year, the Pittsburgh Steelers adopted that song as their theme song to draw all of the city of Pittsburgh and their other fans in. And also interesting to that is that they were united not only as a team, but also on a fan base, and they went on to win the Super Bowl in 1979. Other songs have been sung from a secular standpoint with regard to We Are Family, but also in the Lord's Church, from time to time, we sing a song that we are part of God's family. What a beautiful song. And what do we think with regard to family? People from every walk of life celebrate family. Not only here in the United States do we celebrate times that we are blessed to be able to be together as family, as families even, but then we also have holidays that center in and around families, and therefore we value our families very much. And if you travel to various other parts of the world, you're also going, you don't have to be there very long to understand that they love their families, and families mean a lot. The same is true whenever I've gone into Australia, is that the family, the home and the family means so very much to every single individual. So with this, family loves one another, and family is to celebrate one another. What we also understand as we think about these songs, both that from a secular standpoint, but then in like figure from a spiritual perspective, is that you don't have to necessarily be flesh and blood to be family. Amen? When we think about the secular songs that are sang, oftentimes as the one from 1979, to draw or to unite people together, to show that even though we come from different backgrounds, to show that even though we live in different places, locations, even though that we have different things that we might like and dislike, in all, we're still family to some degree. On a spiritual level, though, we understand is that this is really and truly what is important, is that flesh and blood is one thing, but also to be a part of a spiritual body is indeed most significant. The Bible tells us that Christians are part of God's family. While we are blessed, and certainly so, to be able to have and to be a part of a physical family tonight, I trust that each and every one that is here within the sound of my voice, or maybe even watching us on television or listening via radio, you would agree that it is of greater importance to be a part of a spiritual family, that is to be a part of God's family. When we think with regard to the family, I believe that there are some biblical doctrines that we must understand. Physical families become spiritual families in Jesus Christ our Lord. And what I mean by that is of the spiritual family, and therefore sons and fathers, they are brothers in Christ. Mothers and daughters become sisters in Christ. And I remember whenever I was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sin, my dad actually came to me and he says, you're more than my son now. You are my brother. And admittedly, I was a young teenager, and to me that seemed a little weird. But what God shows us is that we are brethren. We are part of a physical family, but also in a greater way, it is a blessing to be a part of the spiritual family and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about the spiritual family in Christ, we have an earthly father that certainly we love and a mother that we love. But God shows us is that we are blessed in Christ to have a heavenly father that loves us far beyond any love that our physical, fleshly father or anyone else for that matter will be able to express or to bestow upon us. But then the scripture also teaches us with reference to Jesus is that He is our brother. He is one of our brethren. And in this, his relationship with us as brethren is of greater significance even than what our relationship is with each other. But yet at the same time, he wants us to understand is that to some degree, to some form or fashion, he is on the same level as us, as well as now he connects with us as a member of the family. How does one, in a physical sense, Nicodemus had problems with what Jesus taught him in the book of John chapter 3, verse 3, as well as verse 5. Whenever Jesus shows him by his expressions, Nicodemus's expressions of desires to have salvation, Jesus said one must be born again. And remember, Nicodemus said, how is it possible that one enter again into the mother's womb? And that's not at all what Jesus had in mind. Rather, he goes on to explain in John chapter 3 and verse 5, is that one must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. To be born of the water and of the Spirit is to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and that the individual does this with a wholehearted heart. And as a result of that, hence we are able to become a part of our God's family. But also, the Bible teaches us from the book of James chapter 1, verse 27, but specific to this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, is that saints are adopted by their Heavenly Father whenever we put Christ on in baptism. And I got to thinking about this just a moment ago, just before getting up here, is that in truth, we are only born one time into a physical family. But this idea of being born again, there's another process that has to take place. And what is that? It is the adoption process. And that says a lot, does it not, with regard to the love that our Heavenly Father has upon us, is that He pursues us in Christ to adopt us, to become His children. And with regard to this matter, is that as our children, Trent and Amanda, are going through the adoption process, it is quite expensive to adopt, somewhere between $15,000 to $30,000 it can run into. And God, our Heavenly Father, has paid even a greater price in order for you and me to be able to be adopted into His family, my friends, Jesus Christ, God. It's significant also, as we think about these things from a doctrinal standpoint, is that we become heirs of an eternal inheritance. God doesn't look at us as stepchildren. He doesn't look at us as second-class citizens, but rather He looks at us as those who are a part of His biological family, as those who have been born in and very well deserving of the blessings that He bestows upon us while we're here in this world, but also of those blessings that await us to be able to be in His presence in heaven, and to be able to have those blessings not once, not twice, not for a period of time, but to be able to have those blessings without end in eternity. My friends, God loves us, does He not? And He wants so much for us to become a part of the spiritual family. There are also duties that are described for those who are a part of the family of God, the spiritual family. Christians are expected to respect and to unconditionally love the brotherhood. When we think about the Lord's church, we're more than just the church here at East End. And also, we are part of more than just the church here in Warren County. There are a number of churches of Christ here in Warren County. In fact, I believe 42 is the last number that I heard. But we are blessed to be a part of the brotherhood, to look at the church universally, the hundreds or thousands, rather, of churches, and that they operate as God expects us to, as an autonomous body. And in that, we respect that aspect of it, as well as what it is that they're doing for Christ, to the glory of God. But we must love them unconditionally and to give room for and to give understanding of whenever people are working through things, as well as whenever people have situations in their lives that take time for them to be able to grow. We love and we must respect one another in Christ and throughout the brotherhood. But my friends, in like figure, the Bible teaches us is that there is to be a genuine concern and patience with one another. It's one thing for us to say to one another, I care for you, or I'm praying for you. And yet at the same time, it's of greater significance if we say those words and we really and truly mean it. And a lot of times people know the difference, do they not? People pick up on those vibes, as we say. People pick up on our facial expressions. People pick up on maybe the way that we say this or that we do that. But more in line with that, they pick up on whether or not we follow through with a genuine concern for them. To be patient, and we talked about this last week, at least in part, in our lesson on patience, the virtue of patience, is that we are long-suffering with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we are tolerant. We do not compromise truth for anything, but rather is that we give people those opportunities to grow, and we want them to be edified, to be built up. And therefore, you and I do everything that is within our God-given power to do, as well as of what we understand God commands us to do, to be patient and long-suffering with one another, or we tolerate things and we never do anything about that. But yet at the same time, God shows us is that those who are in Christ demonstrate a godly discipline for those who are in Christ. For brethren, whenever brethren sin, we can't brush that under the rug. We can't just act as if something didn't happen. Rather, we are to see the seriousness or the significance to the sin that these people commit, that is in their life, and therefore go to them as a brother or sister, as a part of God's family, and to explain, as they may not understand, or they may understand and still at the same time they've done it and they need to be woken up. We go to them and we express the sin that is in their life, but we do it in a very gentle way, in a spirit of meekness, and we do it with love, speaking the truth in love, for the purpose, hopefully, to bring them back unto our God. So therefore, godly discipline must be a part of our lives in Christ and a part of this church family, the family of God. But then also, whenever a brother or sister in Christ repents, when do they come back to the Lord? My friends, brethren, we must do everything that we can to forgive and to forget, as God does. It doesn't mean that it's completely out of God's mind whenever He forgets, and therefore it's not going to be completely out of our mind. But yet at the same time, we welcome them back, we embrace them, and we encourage them. Lest Satan, according to what we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 11, lest Satan comes in and tempts them once again to fall back unto the sin or back into other types of sin that would draw them away from our God again. What are some of these biblical duties that are defined by God? When we think about being a part of, say something like this before, and I'm going to reemphasize it tonight, is that independently as Christians, we are to go out each and every day as we mix and mingle with the world to the level that God expects us to, not allowing them to influence us, but rather us to be the influence and the impact upon the world. As we go out and have that type of a relationship with those people who are in the world, we are serving God, and we must serve Him to that very end. But another part of this is worshiping God with the opportunities that you and I have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And with this matter, my friends, worship is of most importance. I, for the sake of me, don't understand why some people don't like to worship. They are Sunday morning Christians that's a way that we express it sometimes, and I know tonight you're not because you're here. But I want to encourage you to do is what I try to do, and I know Bob tries to do, Mike has tried to do, and others try to do, and that is to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't here tonight and who aren't here on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about those who are shut in, not capable of being. Rather, they are able to be, but they choose not to be in worship. Let's do what we can to reach out to them and to encourage them to be a part of the family is what God expects them, angles to it. But He said something last night as to the way in which He was going to conclude that lesson that I thought was very significant. And here's what He said. Not everyone who worships will be in heaven, but everyone who is in heaven will be those who have worshiped God, who were continual worshipers of God. And isn't that true? We know that those who are in denominations who do not teach truth. They worship, but at the same time, the Bible says that they will not be in heaven, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. We also understand that hypocrites, those who live, who say that they're a Christian, and maybe they do attend Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesdays, but still at the same time, their life is not consistent with true New Testament Christianity, they won't be in heaven. But those who are in heaven will be faithful worshipers of God. And therefore, I want to encourage those who are here tonight, who I would classify as faithful worshipers of God, to keep on doing that, to keep on keeping on. But then let's encourage those who are not to come back and to be a part of that. The family of God is indeed most important. And what a blessing it is to be able to be a part of the family of God. And I believe that it goes without saying that God knew what He was doing whenever He brought about the family, the spiritual family. Consequently, the Christians has been doubly blessed. To be able to be a part of a physical family is a blessing. But to be a part of the Lord's church, the Lord's family, is a second blessing that indeed weighs the most whenever we stand before our God. If you're here tonight and you are in need, if you have questions without maybe having those questions answered on how does one become a Christian, if you're here tonight and you know that God requires you to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and you want to do that tonight, we would love to be able to assist you unto this very end. If you're subject to His calling this very hour, please come as